Hello from Solid Rock Worship Center. I'm Pastor Jim Bradford. At Solid Rock, it is our desire to see people's lives built upon the truths of God's Word. Jesus is alive, doing miracles, and changing lives. For more info, check out our website at www.srworship.org. And I hope you're challenged by today's message.
This is awesome.
I like pie.
Hello. Hey, John.
Hey.
Hey, here we are getting ready to go to Bridgeport following the amazing Brian Shepherd. Let's see how well Brian can drive today.
He's bound and down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound and what a bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal, so never mind it breaking. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make.
All right. Well, the question isn't, are you driven by me? It's, are you driven by the Lord? And you may be glad that you're not driven by me. We're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 12. You can turn in your Bibles. We're finishing up our series today of being driven. This is part three. Part one and two, I thought were actually pretty good. You know, I might be a little biased, but you can check those out on the internet. We're not really going to review the other keys to accomplishing all the goals that God has for us. But today we're going to give three more. These are the last three, unless, you know, the Lord leads otherwise in the future. Three keys to reaching the goals that God has placed on your heart. Today, briefly, we're going to look at Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3. Our last part of the driven series. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. Do you have a page number, Sheila?
Yeah, 927,
if you have one of our Bibles here. 927. The writer of Hebrews, well, let's just pray, and then we're going to get right into it, get to work today. Jesus, thank you, God, for everything. We thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the church family that we have. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives corporately as Solid Rock Worship Center and all that you're doing in our lives individually, Lord, privately. We thank you, God, for being the God who changes us, the God who drives us. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to continue to grow and change, be all that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, in order to be alive, that really by definition means that we change. If you notice, you can look at a baby doesn't stay in the diapers too long. It's really unnatural, right, if the baby doesn't change, if it doesn't grow. If the baby's 5 years old and doesn't speak words, we're calling the doctor, right, because the baby should have changed or should have developed language. God wants us to change as adults, too. All of us today, we have life. Right? Everybody breathing, right? If we're breathing, God wants us to continue to change, to conform to His image, to be more Christ-like, but also to reach the goals that He's put in our own lives. He wants us to grow. He wants to give us the ability to grow. And today, again, we're finishing up the series on how to reach the goals that God has given us. We all have goals, and the Lord wants us to reach those. Let's start reading here, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, we're going to pause here for just a second. What a cool thought. He says we're surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. I love this passage. Because here we're going to get three keys in just a moment to help us to reach the goals that God has given us, okay? But before that, the writer of Hebrews says that picture looking up in the sky and seeing a hole in heaven and seeing bleachers and bandstands surrounding the hole with the loved ones who have gone before us looking down through the clouds saying, "Yay, you can do it." Isn't that cool? So it's those who you knew who died in Christ, family members and friends and former pastors who are up in heaven shouting for you, cheering for you, you can do it, run this race. But also think of those in the Bible who we haven't met personally, but think of like Abraham and Moses, right? And maybe David and Elisha who's looking down. You can do it, John. You can do it, Millie. Go for it. John Rommel, hang on. Sheila, Bill, Bobby, Donna, you guys can do it. Keep running the race. Isn't that cool? Just for a second, think of somebody who you knew who has died and they're with Jesus now. And it would be cool if they were looking down, watching your life. Anybody? Can we name a couple people? John? Your mother. Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? If she's looking over heaven, you keep going, John. You're almost here, John. Jesus is coming back. Keep running. Awesome. Sheila, did you have one? Yeah. Yeah. And they're looking down. Keep going, Sheila. This is awesome. Did they call you Sheila?
Yeah, they did.
They did? And they're like, keep going, Sheila. You can do this. It's heaven's better than you think. Jesus is better than you could even imagine. It's awesome. Anybody else? John, you have anybody? Yeah, hopefully your mother. Wouldn't that be cool? Yeah, but looking down from heaven, cheering on, right? Anybody can think of like a person from the Bible who you would like to meet in heaven? Anyone? I mean, Jesus, you'd like to meet John? The Baptist or the John that wrote the books? The Baptist? Yeah, he's a tough dude. You don't mess with John the Baptist. Wore camel's hair, ate bugs. He was a crazy dude, but he loved Jesus. He was hardcore for the Lord. Do you like to meet Paul? Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. Paul. Wow, Paul would be at the top of my list too, I think. Yeah. How about you, John? Job? Yeah. The man who endured so much for the Lord and never lost faith. He had some questions sometimes, but he stayed within his bounds, you know. It was good. Awesome. Well, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And of course, he's referring to those in Hebrews 11 who died for their faith. All the Old Testament guys. They're up cheering in heaven for us. So as we run this race of life, remember we're not doing it alone. But what a cool picture of those who have gone before us saying, yeah. Maybe holding up the phone finger in heaven, you know. Go for it. You can do it. The pointer finger. Okay. Let's see if this one goes on the internet. We're not doing too well so far. Let's see if we can redeem this. All right. The first key we're going to look at is repentance. Since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. The first key is repentance. Okay. Obviously, the bigger goal that we've been talking about is our life with Jesus and being a good Christian. But this is true for any other goal as well. Let's talk about living for Jesus first. We need to repent of our sin, don't we? What's the difference between confession and repentance? Well, let me give it to you. Confession is maybe when we sit down and we pray to God and we agree with God is really what confession means. It means to agree with God. It means God is our judge in heaven. Jesus is sitting on the throne. And Jesus looks down and has the Holy Spirit convict us of sin. Let's say it's the sin of lying. And you're going through life and the Holy Spirit talks to you and says, you've been lying. Confession is when we say, Lord, you're right. I've been lying. Do you see that? You just agreed with God. Confession is you admitted it. You're right, God. I admit this sin before you. That's confession. Confession is only part of it, though. The other part is repentance, and that's the part where a lot of people miss it. They can come and they can kneel and say, God, forgive me of lying, I'm sorry that I lied. Help me in this area. In Christ's name, amen. Get up and start going through life. And next thing you know, they're lying again. Right? Repentance is when you get done praying and you go through life and you're like, I'm not going to do that anymore. And you even need to pray and say, Jesus, help me. And you can say, Jesus, I repent of this. I'm not going to do it anymore. Through your strength, I need your help. Because I'm weak here. And I want to repent of the sin. And we want to move on. Repentance is not, it isn't just telling Jesus you're sorry. But it's when we start living our lives again, we change. That we stop. Now, when you're determined to repent, do you always live life perfectly after that? No. Many times we say, God, I hate that sin. Help me to repent. And we'll get up and we'll start walking. Start walking with Jesus. And maybe we'll do good for a little while and something will happen. We can get tripped up and fall. And at that point, usually, the enemy will come to us and say, you stink. You lied to God. God can't forgive you. How many times has He forgiven you? Give up. You're terrible. Well, what do we need to do at that point? Give up? What should we do? We should confess our sins again. We should say, God, I've messed up. Again, I'm a bonehead. The Lord knows that. And say, you know what? I want to change. Help me. And through your power, help me to repent of this and move on. And get up and move on again. Right? That's what we need to do. You need to repent of your sin, though. Because you see, here's the deal that I think a lot of us miss out. Repentance is really steps towards change. It's really beginning a new journey, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's not so much about getting it perfect on the first time or second time or third time. It's really about learning to grow and walk with God, right? That's really the value. It's in the journey. It's taking the steps with God and having Him talk to us and us respond to Him. And when we mess up, we get right back up and we keep moving forward. How dangerous is sin, though? Can we talk about that for a second before we move on? Is sin dangerous? Yeah. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin brings death, doesn't it? Sin kills. All the time. That's like the law of gravity. You hold up a book, you drop it, it's going to fall. You play with fire with your bare hand, you're going to get burned, right? You play with sin, it produces death. Sin kills all the time. How about if you're a Christian? Well, sin still kills, okay? It still kills. We can't be a Christian and not worry about sin not killing us. It will kill us. Can it keep us from heaven? I would say eventually you play with sin enough, yes. Do I think you're a Christian, you sin once, God erases your name, ask for forgiveness, He writes it back, sin again, He erases your name. I don't think it's like that. God's grace is bigger than we think. But sin still brings death into your life. Even if you get to go to heaven, sin will affect your marriage, will it not? If you sin, it's going to come between you and your spouse. If you sin, it's going to come between you and your kids. Sometimes if your kids sin, that comes between you and them, right? It's not always your sin, it's somebody else's sin. But sin always divides. It always brings death. Sometimes it could be the sin of somebody else that affects you and your kids, right? Sin always brings death. It just always does. Sin is dangerous. So as Christians, we do not have a license to sin. You can't say, well, God forgives me. I get to do whatever I want. You don't realize it, but you're playing with fire and it's going to kill you. It's going to kill your job. It's going to kill your career. It can kill your financial stability. It can kill all the goals that we have in life. Remember in the past we've talked about somebody said a goal was to finish school. Well, if you're messing around in sin and doing things you shouldn't do, that's going to mess up all the goals that God has for you, including your walk with the Lord, obviously. We need to get rid of it. The verse I share all the time is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just. He forgives us of all sins and cleanses us from all wickedness and unrighteousness. I love that verse. That says we confess, we give it to God, we agree with Him. And what does He do? He washes us clean. Isn't that good? He washes us clean. He gives us a new start. Remember Jesus with the woman who they were trying to stone to death, caught in the act of adultery? They brought her probably naked or practically naked before Jesus, threw her in front of Him and said, the Old Testament law says, kill her. What do you have to say? It was really a trap for Jesus. They wanted Him to go against the Old Testament law. And Jesus said, basically, you're right. It does say that. Here's what we'll do. Let he who is without sin pick up the first stone. At that, they had no answer. And I remember the words that Jesus gave that woman. Once all the accusers were gone, Jesus said, where are your accusers? She says, Lord, they all left. And He says, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. That Jesus cleanses us and forgives us so we could, to put it in a figurative language, so we could like soar like an eagle. Jesus wants us to live a new life above the sin, above death. And unfortunately, I think too many Christians get forgiveness and they still dabble in the little sin. And they never realize they were meant to soar and fly with Jesus. So big deal, what happens if you start living for the Lord and you start to fly and you crash? I would rather start to fly and crash than never start to fly at all. You get back up. Jesus, I'm a bum. I mess up every time. For me, I'm thinking the Lord says, yep, you are. But that's okay. I still love you. Let's go. And we get up and we move on. That's going to bring us to our second key. As we click over, our second key is going to be endurance. Endurance. Let's read the verse. And let us run the race with endurance. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Run with endurance. Move forward with God. Even when you look like you're losing. I have a quick video clip we're going to look at from the 2008 Olympics. Anybody like Olympics? Watching the Olympics? This was a swimming event, okay? And in this race, what I want you to pay attention to is really the commentators. They're going to describe what's happening. It's kind of hard to see the video because it's not a real good quality. But on the video, you will hear them talking about the last guy in the swimming relay for the men. His name was Jason Elizak, I think was his name. He's the last guy who's going to swim. And they're going to, about a minute into it, 30 seconds into it, they're going to talk about him and his chances of helping the United States win this event. And just listen to it and watch the results and see what happens.
World record there for Australia, Damon Sullivan, to lead things off. But look at this world record line. You know, I think the winning relay, first of all, it's going to take a world record to win. They could break the world record by 3 or 4 seconds. That's how good all these teams are.
Garrett Weber-Gale has the lead for the United States. What is it going to take down the stretch of this race for the Americans to have a chance in the end with France?
The problem is Bousquet for France was 46.6 in the prelim. And then you've got Bernard, the former world record holder now, They've got to get out there way ahead. Helen Jones, probably the slowest leg of the four. He earned that spot to be on the relay in the prelims.
U.S. has the slot leading the third leg of this four-man event. Freddie Bisquet.
47
has taken over the lead, though, for France. Fastest relay split in history in the prelims for Bisquet. He swam at Auburn, and then you've got Colin Jones, who swam on the prelim relay and earned his spot in this final, but France has taken the lead up there in lane five over the United States. Alain Bernard awaits as the anchor guy, and Jason Lezak is going to have to make up some ground on Alain Bernard, who stands 6'5" and can absolutely fly.
I just don't think they can do it, Dan. I mean, Jason Lezak has been there how many times in his career has he anchored this free relay and medley relay, but I just don't think he can do it. He's trying to ride that wave as much as possible.
Bernard is pulling away from him. Lezak,
world record,
a three-time Olympian. World record is absolutely going to be shattered here.
All right, before we move on, what have they said about the Lezak guy? Did you get it? They're talking about, can this guy make it? Can he catch up? Can he win that? Yeah, it's hard to get the words. This guy is running. He's now behind. And they said, can Jason Lezak come back? And the guy says, no, he can't come back. He's been here before countless times. He can't do it. It's not going to happen. France is going to win the gold. And there's a couple seconds left. This is the last one.
The United States trying to hang on a second. They should get the silver medal. Australia is in bronze territory right now, but Lezak is closing a little bit on Bernard. Can the veteran chase him down and pull off a shocker here? Well, there's no doubt that he's tagging up. Bernard is losing some ground. Here comes Lezak. Unbelievable at the end. He's done it. The U.S. has done it.
So the United States won. Did you see that? The United States won. That's pretty cool, right? Go America. Woo! Yeah, they won. And this guy, Jason Lezak, is an older guy. He was a veteran. He actually was the oldest guy on the team. And everybody gave him up as the old guy that can't do anything. And did you see him at the last part where the guy from France was up ahead and all of a sudden he just overpowered him? And ran at the end of his career, or swam rather, the fastest that he ever did in his life, and came back when it was all on the line and hit the side and won. What an amazing comeback. What an amazing comeback. Now, when you heard the announcers, they said, yeah, there's no chance. He's not coming back. Why did I show this clip? Because this is all about endurance. Was he tired? You better believe he was exhausted. But somehow within him, even when all the odds were stacked against him, he found the power and the stamina to push himself. To not only complete the race, but to swim the best that he ever swam in his life. Here's my point. My point is this. That you may feel like the world is against you. You may feel like you're the wily old veteran and you can't do like you used to do. You might feel it's time to retire like that guy. You're too old. Don't even bother. Let some young kid do it. The Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, wants to give you power to endure the rest of the race. I don't know how long your race is. I don't know how long before Jesus comes back or how long before he takes you home. But whatever length of time you have, and I have, whatever we have left, the Holy Spirit wants to give us the power to run better than we've ever ran in our lives. Isn't that good? That this guy had to find the power within himself to get it done. We have to find the power outside of ourselves through Jesus to get it done. To run the best lap we ever can. And when people say, oh, you're too old, you stink, you're no good, nobody likes you anyway, we run the race with endurance. When you're tired and you wore out and you say, I can't take it anymore, that's when we say, I need more of you, God. And He'll give us the power to endure, to move forward. As we said, we're surrounded by a big cloud of witnesses. People are cheering us on. We need to run that race with endurance. One of the things that hurts us with enduring is a sense of feeling that we're defeated, that we've lost before, that we failed so many times and we can't do it again. One of the things I want to talk about in regards to that is legalism. Anybody ever used to be legalistic in church, right? We heard some crazy stuff in the 9 o'clock service that used to be a sin. Things I didn't even know was a sin in legalistic churches. Let me see. I'll start with one and we'll go around and ask you what was a sin. For me, I shared how wearing shorts was a sin. I wasn't allowed to wear shorts. And that's why today I have chicken legs. My legs are chicken. You should see like up here. Chicken legs. I have the whitest raw chicken legs in the world. I do. I didn't wear shorts until I was like 19 or 20 before I wore shorts because it was a sin growing up. I don't know why. It just was. And I can't get a tan. I wear shorts all the time now. I am just chicken legs. I don't know. It's amazing. What else was a sin that's not in the Bible but was known as a sin? Sheila? Yeah.
You never came to church jeans or
anything. Right. Yeah, what did the men wear? Oh, not jeans, but they could wear pants, right? Dress pants.
They wore pants, but
right.
Women had to wear dresses.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that growing up. John? Oh, they weren't allowed to wear red jewelry in particular? Oh, really? Wow. Really? Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't hear that one before. Wow, I'm in trouble. I'm not. They had to cover their head, yeah. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Right. And some women had to have long hair, right? You couldn't cut it short. Yeah, at least those ones are in the Bible. So we'll deal with that when we get back to 1 Corinthians. But they are, though. At least there's a verse, right? The not wearing red, that's not in the Bible. Anybody else? Anything? Well, this morning, you had another one, Sheila?
I remember women weren't supposed to preach in the church.
Oh.
You remember that?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, we're actually in 1 Corinthians. When we get back there with from Jacked Up the Jesus series, we're taking a little break from that. When we get back in a little while, we're going to be dealing with a lot of those kind of women issues. You're right. Some churches are like that, sure. Some of the things that were shared earlier was that surprised me. Women weren't allowed to wear perfume at one church that some of her people went to. And women weren't allowed to shave their legs. And to that, I said, thank you, Jesus, that that's not in the Bible. Because I don't want, like, my hairy legs rubbing up against my wife's hairy legs. I don't want that, you know? I don't want that. So I am, thank you, Lord, my wife shaves. And she wears perfume and smells nice. Jesus, you're so good. Right? I never heard that before till this morning when we did this and talked about legalism, right? Going to the movies was a sin, right? Going to a pool hall, playing pool, playing cards, right, was a sin. Yeah, going to the beach, you're right, going to the beach. And I... Well, yeah. Now, even there, the sin is lust. Is lust a sin? Absolutely. Is the beach sinful? The beach isn't sinful. The problem is if you go to the beach and everybody's naked or close to it, in your heart you can have lust before God. So what they did, what legalism, really, legalism is based usually with good intentions. They're just gone wrong. So they say we shouldn't lust, okay? Bible says don't lust. So the pastor trying to help says, I want to keep you from lust. So don't go to movies. Don't go to the beach. So we make all these other rules, and the goal is to keep you from lusting. The problem is we can lust at Wawa, right? You can, right? You can lust anywhere. If when you go by all these rules, it doesn't help your heart. You can still be lustful and just not go to the beach. And then guess what? You can become prideful. I don't go to the beach. I don't wear shorts. My wife doesn't even use perfume. And she's got hairy legs. Right? And be very prideful. Look at my religious pride and then stink before God because of our pride. And end up being more like the devil who got kicked out of heaven because of pride. More like the devil than we are like Jesus. And we can have lust in our heart. We just lust in different areas. And the truth is we need to deal with lust. Can we go to the beach? Yes. But here's what I want to say. If we have problems where we go to the beach and we feel convicted, then don't go to the beach. That's fine. If there's stuff in your heart where you were, you go to the beach and you can't stop, you can't control yourself, don't go to the beach. Go to a private beach, just don't go, you know? If God is speaking to your heart personally, don't go to the movies, then don't go to the movies. But the problem is it becomes just legalism when we hang it up on a church wall or whatever and we preach, don't go to the movies. Are there movies you shouldn't go to? Absolutely. How many of them? Probably most of what's playing in the theater we have no business going to see as Christians. But I'm not going to write up a rule and tell you what to watch and what not to watch. I pray that instead of me giving you the cheat sheet on how to be holy, I pray that you would be open to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, He's really good at helping you be holy. Amen? Because that's His job, right? And He will tell you, you shouldn't watch this movie. You need to get out of here. And I've told the story before how Don and I, when we were dating, we went to go see a movie. 5 minutes into the movie, we were up talking to the manager and got our money back. And said, we're not watching that movie. I had no idea that it was like that. He apologized and gave us our money back. You know? It was a bad movie. I still ain't going to watch it. But the Holy Spirit will tell you, that's wrong. Get out of there. The Holy Spirit will say, don't play pool. You shoot pool. That's bad for you. You know? Because sometimes we were saved out of lives, out of lifestyles, that by doing those things, we're stepping back into that. But that's a personal thing. The Holy Spirit will tell you. But what I want to say is legalism, if we add all these other rules, it makes it hard for us to endure. Because not only are we following the rules of the Bible, we're following the rules of man. And Jesus told the Pharisees, why are you giving people all these rules when you yourselves can't even bear them? You know, all you did was add to my rules. Jesus, we talked about this Thursday night, He surmised the Ten Commandments, brought them down to two. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we do that, that's it. Isn't that easy? Love God with everything, surrender everything to God, and love each other as you would want somebody to love you. If I love Millie like I want Millie to love me, I'm not going to go to Millie's house and steal her stuff. Right? 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 He said it would help. You understand? I'm not going to sin and I'm going to follow all the Ten Commandments. You know, it would help. Listen to John. All right. Don't be legalistic. But again, don't throw away everything and say, in Christ we have freedom to do everything. The Holy Spirit is really good at His job. And if you love God with everything, He will tell you what to do. Amen. The last one we're going to look at today. The last one of this series. Again, the writer of Hebrews says, we're surrounded by all these witnesses. Strip off every weight of sin. Run with endurance, right? So when we fall, what do? We get back up, we repent again, run with endurance. Verse 2, we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now He is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility He endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up. The last key we're sharing is maintaining your focus. Now, the very first key we shared 2 weeks ago was to focus. It's interesting that we're ending this series with maintaining your focus. Keep on focusing. Verse 2 with the New Living Translation said, keeping our eyes on who? Jesus. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. I love this story of what happened when Peter was in the boat with his disciples. Remember? They're out at sea by themselves. Jesus sent them away and said, cross to the other side. I'll hook up with you guys over there. So they left Jesus while Jesus was praying on the mountain. They're in the middle of the sea. Here comes the wind and the waves. The boat's rocking. Things are crazy. Then all of a sudden they look out and here comes Jesus walking across the water. Remember that story? And Peter, who gets a bad rap because he denied the Lord, had this moment of courage, which actually all the other guys in the boat didn't even have. Peter looks up and says, is that you? And Jesus says, it's me. And Peter says, great, Lord, can I come out and walk with you? That looks like fun. And Jesus says, sure, come out. And Peter steps over the side and begins to walk with the Lord. How cool is that? Right? Isn't that cool? Not too many people have walked on water. And here's Peter walking with Jesus. And everything was good as he's walking towards Jesus. Then something happens. Remember what happens? Yeah, as he's walking with Jesus, all of a sudden, he hears the wind. He sees the waves. He starts to look down. Look at, whoa! And what happens? He begins to sink. The Bible tells us the shortest prayer in all of Scripture was uttered by Peter as he was going down because he didn't have a whole lot of time. Sometimes you don't have time to pray, right? You know, sometimes you can open up with, oh, Heavenly Father, Lord of heaven and earth, creator of all human beings. Peter couldn't go there. Peter was, Lord, save me. He's underwater. That was it. Shortest prayer in all of Scripture, Lord, save me. Jesus reaches down, pulls him out, picks him up. And they get back on the boat together and they're fine. Peter was good as long as he maintained his focus on Jesus. Once he looked at his problems, he looked at the water, he looked at the waves, he looked at the things that scared him, he began to sink. For us, as we finish up this series, I want to encourage you to maintain your focus upon Jesus. As you're in this world, things are going to be scary, aren't they? Don't we live in kind of a scary world if we're just honest? You know, you get the phone call in the middle of the night, you don't know who it is, right? You don't, is everything okay? Tax man comes around, wants more money, right? Things can be scary. But you know what? I want to tell you this. You can reach your goals that God has placed in your heart if you follow after Him, do these keys from Scripture, and always make sure you stay focused on the Lord. Because honestly, what is our life about? It's supposed to be about glorifying Jesus, right? at the end of life, we want Jesus to be praised more by our life and through our lives. Somehow, in America, we miss it and we think our life is really about getting stuff. We want to own this. We want to own that. And then, when you die and go to heaven, all your kids are going to sell all your stuff and give it away. And everything that was so important to you, if you're looking now from heaven, you're going to want to smack your kids. What are you doing with it? Do you know how long I collected that? 50 cents. Do you know what those baseball cards are worth? Right? You know how that goes? You get stuff. You think it's important. What's really important is glorifying Jesus. Amen? Is that He would be praised. What's really important is that we brought everyone who we meet closer to the Lord. That's what's really important. Maintaining our focus on Him. How do we do that? Now, sometimes we can try to focus on Jesus, and then along the way, we can get hurt by people. And it happens in church too, doesn't it, sometimes? Right? Anybody here ever suffer a church split, right? Yeah, I know, everybody. I know all your stories. Yeah. Sometimes Christians can be terrible, right? How do we maintain focus on Christ in the midst of a hurting and broken world? Here's how. Verse 3 tells us. Think of all the hostility He endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Verse 3 says, you know what? By default, you're going to want to become weary and you're going to want to give up. That's why the Holy Spirit told the writer of Hebrews to put this verse in there. As we move forward for Jesus, we can leave here saying, I'm driven for You, God. We're taking kingdoms for You. We're doing things for You. And then all of a sudden, you're in the parking lot and somebody yells at you for parking crooked. And you're like, Lord, I want to smack that guy. And, you know, we're at church. I'm not supposed to get mad at church, right? Ah! What's wrong with you? When you want to give up, when you're weary, the Lord says, think of Jesus and what He endured at the hands of sinful people. Will sinful people hurt you? Yeah. Are they going to make you want to throw in the towel? Probably. Are you going to get weary and ran down and not, you just can't take anymore? Like, Lord, just keep that person away from me or I'm going to go postal, right? Lord, You know, God. And Jesus says, I know. He suffered at the hands of sinful people. If we call ourselves Christians, that term really means little Christs. We follow Jesus, we can't expect the world to treat us any different. We worship the guy who they murdered. The homeless guy who they murdered. That's who we worship. When we do that, they're not going to want to give us any respect. And we need to think of what Jesus went through. Because sometimes people will treat us bad too. They treated Jesus bad. We can't really expect any different. So I want to say this, in the difficult times, maintain your focus on Jesus. Amen? It's all about Jesus. How about when people hurt you? It's all about Jesus. How about when you have pain from the hurt? Jesus had pain from the hurt. And you can talk to your God in heaven, and He can relate to everything you go through. Do you know what I mean? And He can help you, and He can comfort you. I think of the sower. Remember the sower in the the parable of the sower, where the farmer went out and threw some seeds, and the bird came and ate some, and some grew upon rocks, and it just sprang up for a little bit and died in the shade. The last one is really good, that it grew up and produced all kinds of fruit. That's the one we like. The third one is interesting because the first two died. You know, we would say they're people that didn't go to heaven. The last one, they're the good people who go to heaven. The third one are the people who, they took root. The flowers grew up, or the plant, whatever. And do you remember what happened? The thorns and the weeds choke them out. The Bible doesn't say they died. They were just unproductive. They were choked out. And Jesus said it's because of the cares of this world. If our lives are about glorifying God, the cares of this world shouldn't choke us out, should they? Now, we live in a world with cares, and I realize we have cares. I have bills to pay, or I'll be homeless and my daughter won't have a place to sleep, so I have to make money for my family. We all have cares and concerns, and we know that, and we realize that. But at the same time, we need to make sure they don't choke out our lives for the Lord. We need to have a focus on the cross. Like this guy. Walk away from the world and towards the cross. Amen? And when you do that, God will help you meet any goal that you have in your life. If your goal is to be a good grandfather, be a good dad, be a good husband, be a good wife, be a good mother, grandmother, God will help you meet those goals. I truly believe that if it comes from the Lord. And I think when we repent of all the bad stuff and we endure through tough times and ask Jesus to help us, and we remember it's really all about Him. It's not about your business, or it's not about your kingdom, or it's not about you buying a house. It's all about God being glorified with your life. And we do all these other things, but we just want God to be happy and praised in the midst of it. We go to college because we want God to be praised, right? Everything should be about glorifying God. When we do that, we're going to get through and we're going to reach our goals, because God's going to give us the power to do that. Amen? Let's go ahead and go to prayer. At this point, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, we love you today, Lord. We love you, God. Hallelujah. If you're here, we've been talking a lot about goals over the course of the past today and 2 weeks prior. And you should have goals. Your goals could be to simplify things in your life. Your goal could be to spend time with your family, restore a broken relationship, finish school. It could be start a business, work on a business, be a good worker. Your goal could be all kinds of things. It could be to get healthy, to lose weight. Your goal could be to spend more time in God's Word. It could be to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more in your life. Whatever goal that is, you know the things God wants you to do. And I pray that these keys will help you be driven to meet those goals. If you're here today and you just want to say, you know, Pastor, pray for me. If you're here and there's a goal in your heart, it's between you and God. I'm not going to ask you to share it, but you're here and you just want to say, Pastor, pray for me, that the Lord will help me to be driven to meet this goal. I want you to stand just where you are and I'm going to pray for you. Just go ahead and stand where you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just as a way of surrendering out to Jesus, I'm going to pray. Lord, I pray for my family here today. God, for those who they know that you've birthed within them a God-sized dream. I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would give them the strength, God, to meet these goals, that they would be driven, Lord, not by emotion, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, you've called us all to change and grow. As long as there is breath, we are to change and grow. And I pray that you would help them to grow and become all that you've called them to be. I pray that in the future we will hear testimonies of how you've helped them to reach their goals. I pray, Lord, that if there's any sin, God, that they would confess that and repent of that sin today. Lord, if they're feeling weary and beat up, God, I pray that they would run this race with endurance. Even if everybody says they can't do it, I pray that you would help them to do it. And I pray, lastly, Lord, that they would maintain their focus upon you. Because, Jesus, it's all about you. It's not about us. We ask all these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.